These verses will set the stage for our message tonight. Now, when we finish this message, we're going to stand and sing a song. And that song is really to encourage those of you who want to make a decision for the Lord to come forward and to let us know what your intentions are. Because we believe that salvation can be yours tonight.
Amen. Amen.
We believe that you don't have to go another day without Jesus. We believe tonight that if you make up in your mind that you want to serve God, you will receive the help that you need. A lot of people want to make a commitment or a decision for the Lord, but they're wrestling with whether or not they will be able to continue in their walk with the Lord.
That's right.
But the Bible says that the Lord will never leave us.
Amen.
Nor forsake us. He is really our helper. And if we would allow him to help us, then we can make this journey and we can make it unto the end. The Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I want to focus really on verse number 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I want to talk about God's platform of unity. That's what I want to talk about tonight. God's platform of unity. God has set a platform. God has set a standard. God has given man a way in order to obtain unity, in order to be free from sin, and in order to make heaven his home. God has placed out here for us everything that we need in order to be saved. Now, when I look at God's platform of unity, the first thing I want you to know, and that is the Bible is a book of unity. The Bible harmonizes because truth does not contradict itself. God has given us a book that is able to save us and to keep us. There are no contradictions, there are no discrepancies, and there are no errors in the eternal Word of God. Man needs to understand that God's Word has the capacity to convert his soul. In Psalms 19 and verse 7, the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You need to understand tonight that when I talk about the Bible, I am talking about the inspired word of God. Now I know that this word, this English word, Bible, is not found in your Bible. And when people hear something like that, they say, well, why should I believe in a Bible when the very word Bible is not in the Bible? Well, that's why I want to develop what I'm talking about. Because even though the Bible or the word Bible is not written in your Bible, don't think for one moment that something is wrong with the Bible. The Bible, first of all, was not written in the English language. And since we are dealing with what we call a translation and then a transliteration from the original language, we have to take a good look at what the book is saying. Because people will find any excuse that they can for not obeying the Bible. Well, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 7. And I need to work on this so you can understand how we receive this word Bible. Isn't that all right? Well, in Hebrews 10 and verse 7.
Then said I.
Lo.
I come in the volume of the book.
The book.
It is written of me. To do thy will, O God.
To do thy will, O God. Now, this word book actually is translated book from the original Greek word biblion. Now, this word biblion actually gives us another word that is called biblos. And this word, a biblos, gives us another word that we call Biblia. And then when you look at this word as it comes down to us, we have the book in the English language. We have the Biblion, the Biblos, the Biblia, and then we have, are you all paying attention? Now, this word Bible is not in your Bible, but Biblion is the original word, and it translates book. So when you stop and look at the Biblion, the Biblos, the Biblion, the book, you see the Bible. So don't run around here arguing about the word Bible is not in your Bible. The word Bible wasn't intended to be in your Bible, but it's still called the Holy Bible. And the reason why it's the Holy Bible is because it is God's holy book. Amen. And God's holy book comes to us as the Holy Bible. That's why Paul could say to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Now, I brought this up for a reason. And a whole lot of folk have problems when it comes down to this word right here. And this word is Trinity. They say, well, I can't believe in the Trinity, because the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Well, the word Bible is not in the Bible. And yet those same folk believe in the Bible. This word Trinity is not in the Bible. But I guarantee you Trinity is in the Bible. But it's not called Trinity in the Bible, just like the word Bible is in the Bible, but it's not called Bible in the Bible. It's called the book.
That's right.
Am I correct about it?
Amen.
Well, let's go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7. Let's see if we can get Trinity out of the Bible. Now, the English word Trinity is not in the Bible. So we have to understand what it means when we read it in the book. Are you all right tonight? Now you all know I'm not in a hurry. I don't know how long I'll preach tonight. But if I don't finish it all tonight, Lord's willing, I'll get part two on tomorrow night. But it is really my plan to finish this thing tonight. Are you all feeling okay?
Amen.
You see, I need you feeling good under this tent. I don't need anybody feeling down and out. Because when you feel down and out, you don't really put your mind on your business. I need your mind on this business. I need your minds tonight on the Word of God. Now the Bible says in 1 John 5
for there are three
and verse number 7, for there are
three that bear witness
that bear record
in heaven.
In heaven,
the Father,
the Word,
and the Holy Ghost.
And these three
are one.
Now did you get that word three? Comes from a word, a treia, and it simply means one, two, three. Now we get the word tri. Have you ever heard anybody talk about tri-cities?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard anybody talk about tri-parts?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard anybody talk about tri-anything?
That's right.
Well, when they talk about tri, they are talking about three. Now the word trinity, it's not in your Bible, but try or three is in your Bible. Are you all paying attention?
Yeah.
Well, when I see three, let me tell you what I see. I see a Trinity. Are you all paying attention? And when I see Trinity, I see Father, Word, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, this term Word, that's the second personality of the Godhead. I don't have to run all over the Bible in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Now wait a minute. I need you to see this term with. Because this term with implies a relationship. He said the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now let's read it again. In the beginning was the Holy God, and the Word was with God. I maintain that the Word was God. So what is he actually saying? He's actually saying in the beginning was the God. And the God was with God. You had God with God. You can't miss this. I said you had God with God. In other words, God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. God was with God. Let me give you all a principle that I think you can get. Go to 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. As a matter of fact, verses 7 and 8, I want to give you something that I think you can deal with. Now watch this in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8.
Beloved,
let us love one another.
For love is of God.
For love is of God.
And everyone that loves.
And everyone that loveth.
Is born of God.
Is born of God.
And knows God.
And knoweth God.
He that loveth not. Knows not God.
Knoweth not God.
For God is love.
For God is love. Now you need to see this. What is God?
God is love.
God is love. Now let me ask you a question. Is God eternal? Well, I could go back to Deuteronomy 32:27, 33:27, and show you that God is eternal. I can go to Micah 5 and verse 2 and show you that the word Christ or Jesus is eternal. I could go to Hebrews 9 and verse 14 and I can show you that the Holy Spirit is eternal. Now, why would I do all of that? I will do all of that to show you this. God is love. Well, if God is love, love has to have an object. Are you paying attention? You see, there must be an object for love. I'll tell you right now, honey, if you love yourself and yourself only, something is wrong with your love. True love has an object. There must be somebody else to love. Now watch this. God is eternal. God is love. Christ is eternal. Christ is love. The Holy Spirit is eternal. The Holy Spirit is love. God has always had something to love. Oh, you need to catch this. If you miss this, man, you're going to miss what I'm trying to do. In other words, love has to have an object. In eternity, the Father loved the Word. The Word loved the Father because the Word was with the Father in eternity. Are you catching it? In John 17 and verse 5, I know the Bible is right. Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, "And now, O Father, glorify thy me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was." I'm trying to show you that in the beginning, God was with God. Personality Father, personality Christ, Word or Son, and personality Holy Spirit. All three were together. Did you catch what I just tried to show you? So I'm trying to get you to see when it comes down to God's platform of unity, there was unity in the Godhead. This word Trinity actually comes to us like this. We ought to say it like this. Tri-unity. So when you hear people talk about God is a triune being, they are simply saying that God is one in three persons. Did you catch that? Oh, we have to talk about this because a lot of people don't understand the Godhead. They don't understand Trinity. They don't understand the triunity of God. As a matter of fact, they don't understand the multi-personal nature of God. God exists in three persons. Oh, I know people argue all the time about, you mean to tell me there are really three persons that make up one God? Honey, I don't believe that. You know what they say about 1 John 5 and verse 7? They say 1 John 5, 7 is not in the original manuscript. They say 1 John 5, 7 is what they call an interpolation. An interpolation, they say, was added by the translators. They put it in there. They say that 1 John 5, 7 is a spurious passage. When you read some Bible, it's not in there. And they're trying to say that 1 John 5 and 7 is really not correct. There are not three persons of the Godhead. But now what I want you to understand is this. Go to Matthew 6 and verse number 9. And when people talk to me like this, you know what I ask them, Brother Mitchell? Can you count to three? That's all I want to know. Can you count to three? If you can count to three, then we're going to be all right. Well, now they say 1 John 5, 7 is not in the original manuscript. Well, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9, the Bible says,
After this manner, therefore pray ye,
our
Father, which art in heaven,
Heaven. Now, where is the Father?
In heaven.
That's one. Isn't that right? Now, where is the Father? In heaven. Now, remember 1 John 5 and verse 7 said, there are three that bear record where?
In heaven.
The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Go to Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. I just want to know if they can count to three. The Word of God is right. I just discovered that the Father is in heaven. Isn't that right? Well, the Bible says, Acts 1 and 9.
When he had spoken these things,
while they beheld,
he was taken up,
and a cloud received him out of their sight.
And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up,
behold, read the book.
Two men stood by him
in white apparel,
which also said,
Ye men of Galilee,
why stand ye gazing
up into heaven?
This same Jesus,
which is taken up from you into heaven.
Shall so come
in like manner
as you have seen him go into heaven.
Now, where is Jesus? Oh, he's in heaven. That's two. Are you all right? I just want to know, can they count to three? Because the Bible said there are three that bear record in heaven. Go to 1 Peter, chapter 1 Peter 1 and verse number 12. I just want to get this thing straight. All of my preaching must be according to the Word of God.
Amen.
I cannot afford to say some stuff that I can't back up from this Bible. Now the book says,
unto whom it was revealed,
that not unto themselves,
but unto us, they did minister unto you. The things which are now reported unto you by them.
That have preached the gospel unto you.
Unto you. With the Holy Ghost.
With the Holy Ghost
sent down from heaven.
From heaven. Somebody ought to see me right through here. Now, where did the Holy Ghost come from? He came from heaven. My question is this. How many are there in heaven? The Bible said there are three in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And I tell them this. If 1 John 5 is not right, then Matthew 6, 9 is not right. If 1 John 5, 7 is not right, then Acts 1, 9 through 11 is not right. If 1 John 5, 7 is not right, then 1 Peter 2, 1 and 12 is not right. In other words, what I'm telling you is this. If 1 John 5, 7 is spurious and an interpolation and it was added by the translators, then these verses are also spurious and interpolations because they say the same thing that 1 John 5 said. In other words, I don't even need 1 John 5, 7 to tell me that there are three that bear record in heaven. I can go somewhere else and find that out.
Amen. Amen.
Are you all paying attention? Oh, the Bible is right. Now, I did all of that to set you up for God's platform of unity. Now, if there is unity in the Bible, there is unity in the Godhead. Don't you believe there ought to be unity among God's people?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now, I can understand if the Bible is all divided and contradictory and all types of errors in it. I can see the people being divided and contradictory with all kind of errors among it. If the Godhead is divided and contradictory, then I can see the people of God being divided and contradictory. But the Bible is a book of unity, and the Godhead is a Godhead of unity. Now, how in the world can a book of unity produce a people of division? How in the world can a God of unity produce a people of division? In other words, God is a God of unity, and if we all follow God, I'll guarantee you, all of us will have unity, because God is a God of unity.
Amen.
Now, I don't understand how we miss all of this easy stuff in the Bible. It reminds me of a man who had a PhD. Oh, yes, you know, that's the highest degree they say you can get around here. And he ran. Man, he was driving in his car, and he saw a stop sign, and the stop sign said STOP, and he kept right on going. The policeman pulled him over and gave him a ticket and said, "By the way, sir, that was a stop sign that you should have stopped at." And that man looked at him. He said, "Well, you do know I have a PhD, don't you?" Now, what in the world does a PhD have to do with him not stopping? You see, a lot of people think the more knowledge they get, the more they can do among people, and the more they can get away with from God. But honey, God treats the PhD just like he treats the person with my degree, my J-E-S-U-S degree. Are you all paying attention? You have to pay attention, man, to catch it. God doesn't care about how smart you are. God wants you to accept his word. You read Hebrews chapter 5 verses 8 and 9.
Yes, sir.
Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the thing which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. It doesn't matter how much education you have. You need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and obey him. So we have to talk about the unity. Unity among God's people, because God has a platform of unity. And everybody must adhere and build on that platform. Oh yes, we all must build on that platform. I'm not ready to talk about the seven ones in Ephesians chapter 4. But I want to go back, because that's really the platform that Paul gives in that text. But I want to go back, and I want to do some things out of the Old Testament, and then come on down through the New Testament. Because when it comes down to God's platform of unity, the first thing I want you to know, that when it comes down to it, God predicted unity out of his people. Go to Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse number 39. I'll wait on you to get there, because I need you to see where I'm going. I want to show you God predicted unity among his people. And then I'm going back to Genesis 49 and verse 10. God predicted unity among his people. The Bible says,
"And I will give them one heart. And one way.
And one
way. That they may fear me.
Forever.
For the good of them.
And of their children after them. Notice. Read verse 40.
And I will make
an everlasting covenant
with them
that I will not
turn away from them
to do them good.
But I will put my fear
in their heart.
God says I will make
an everlasting covenant
with them.
Isn't that in your Bible? Well, this everlasting covenant is not the Mosaic covenant. This everlasting covenant is the covenant through Christ that Christ is going to make. As a matter of fact, I read Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 6. The Bible said, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for
the second.
In other words, this everlasting covenant is the second covenant. It's God's last will and testament. And that was ratified. It was actually purged with the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you getting it? God made a prediction that he would give his people what?
One heart.
One heart.
One way.
And one way.
Amen.
Now notice why.
That they may fear me forever.
That they may what?
Fear me.
For what?
Forever.
And what else?
For the good of them.
Listen.
And of their children.
Holy. I'm giving them one heart and one way. Number one, that they may fear me forever.
Amen. That's right.
The problem in religion today is that people don't fear God. Why do you think you can sit up under this tent and hear these sermons and never obey them? If you had the fear of God in your heart when you heard this message that you can go to heaven or you will go to hell, honey, you will get up out of your seat and obey God. A lot of people don't fear God. But God said, I'm going to give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever and for the good. No, don't let me run over this. God is going to give us one way for our good. Now think about this. If God gave us one way for our good, and we look out in religion and we see all of these different ways out here now, what if God had given us three ways for our good? Man, we are messed up and he didn't give us but. And men are trying to change that one way. I don't know why people think Jesus built the church. But I'm here to tell you tonight, he built the church for our good. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus died on the cross to build the church, shed his blood for our good? And people running around here, they don't even want good. Well, I need to help you see it. Because you need to see it. Somebody, it's like it reminds me of a lady down in Mississippi where I used to preach. Man, I taught the word of God, and that word just troubled her. I mean, it troubled her. She went home, and she was still troubled. About 2 o'clock in the morning, she called me. She said, Brother Holt, I can't sleep. And by this time, I'm saying, I can't either. Are you all paying attention? She wakes me up. I can't sleep. She said, all I can remember is that sermon you preach, and I can't sleep. I say, well, you need to do something about it. She said, yes, I want to be baptized. Lord have mercy. It was after 2 a.m. in the morning. I took that woman and baptized her because she couldn't sleep. I hope this message tonight get in your heart, get so deep in your heart that you can't sleep. I hope you call Brother Mitchell about that time. So you... Who did I tell them to call? I thought you'd get it. See, I tell people like this. If you could prove to me that Jesus built more than one church, I would give you $15,000 of Brother Mitchell's money. Now, why is God giving this one heart and one way? That they, number one, may fear him. And number two, for their good. Isn't that right? Well, Jesus is coming. And he's coming for a purpose. Go over to Genesis. Chapter back to Genesis 49. And verse number 10. The Bible said,
the scepter shall
that's
not
the rule of authority. That's God's law. The scepter
shall not depart from Judah.
Nor a lawgiver.
From between his feet.
Until Shiloh come.
And unto him.
Shall the gathering of the people be. Now whenever Shiloh comes, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. When Shiloh comes, he's going to gather the people.
Right.
Now you need to get this. If you don't get anything else, whenever Shiloh comes, he's going to gather the people. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now notice, he said the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Isn't that right? Now sometimes Judah is spelled with an H on the end, or sometimes it's just with an A. Now I need you to get this, because a lot of folk are still wondering who is Shiloh. Well, whoever Shiloh is, whenever he comes, he's going to gather the people. I'll give you two verses. Now, I'm not going to go through all of the Bible on this, but I'll give you two verses to show you that Shiloh is Christ. He comes from the lineage of Judah. Go over to the book of Revelation 5 and verse 5. Hebrews 7 and verse 14. Because I need to give you this. God made a prediction that his people are going to be one. God wants all of his people to become one. God doesn't want us divided up.
Amen.
He wants all of us to be one. The Bible says,
and one of the elders
said unto me, this is Revelation 5 and 5, and one of the elders said unto me,
Weep not. Behold the lion.
Of the tribe of Judah.
The root of David.
Has prevailed to open the book. To take the book.
And to loose the seven seals thereof.
Now, who in the world is the lion of the tribe of Judah? You know who that is? That's Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, yes, he came through Judah. As a matter of fact, when they started bringing about the priesthood, Jesus Christ didn't come under the lineage of Levi.
Right.
So on earth, he could not be a priest.
Amen.
Because Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Am I correct about it when it comes to Judah?
Yes.
But in Hebrews 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, For it is evident
that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Of which tribe Moses spake nothing. Concerning the priesthood.
What I'm trying to tell you is this. Jesus Christ is Shiloh. Shiloh simply means peace. And I know Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace. Did you catch it? Oh yes, Shiloh simply means peace. And Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince. Now, I don't have to work anymore on that. I know you have it. Don't you have it? Then you get it. Then you get that. Shiloh is coming. And when he comes, what is he going to do? He's going to gather his people. That's God's prediction. Did you catch it? Well, I need to move on from God's prediction. And I need to move to Christ's promise. Are you all right? Now let me go to crisis promise. Go to Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. I just need to go to crisis promise. I've seen God's prediction. Now I need to see crisis promise. I need to show you what Christ promised. And if you can see what Christ promised, I'm going to show you what the Christ prayed for. And then, if I have time, I'm gonna show you what the apostles' plea was. And then, if you have time, I'm gonna show you what the apostles preached. Is that all right with you all? I don't know how much time I have tonight, but I'm gonna show you what the early church practiced. Isn't that all right? Oh yes, I need you all to see where I'm going. And then I just need to show you, when it comes down to it, if you want to get in this oneness, I'm going to show you God's plan. Now I won't have time to work on all the stuff on the platform, but I think we'll get close enough. Isn't that all right? You see, that's just too much for one sermon, and you all can see that now, can't you? But I tell you this, it's enough in there to save everybody under this tent and in Jamaica. But what we must do, we must go to the Word of God and find out what He wants. That's what we must do. Now, I need to get to the promise. Get to the promise. I need to get to the promise. Jesus made a promise. And let me tell you something, honey. Don't ever forget, Jesus made a promise. And whenever Jesus makes a promise, don't ever think He's not going to make good on the promise. Now watch the promise. Matthew 16, verse 18.
And I say
also unto thee
that thou art
Peter.
And upon this rock I will build my church.
And the gates of hell
shall not prevail
against it.
And I will give unto thee
the keys
of the kingdom of heaven.
And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Now listen. There are two words in this verse that I want you to see. These two words have a lot to do with what Jesus is saying. Now, first of all, He said upon this rock. Now, this word, rock, Petra and Petros, you got to see there are two words here for rock. One word He says, upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, wait a minute. When He says, upon this rock, He's talking about Himself, the massive rock of truth that cannot be moved nor denied. Verse 16, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now upon this truth that you have just declared that I am the Christ, upon this massive rock that cannot be moved, I will build my church. Well, I want you to see a lot of folk run around in the Bible and they look for stuff to try to contradict what we preach. They say, well, you know, when you all say, go over to 1 Corinthians, chapter 10 and verse 4. I'm working with the rock now. You'll be okay. I'm working with the rock. I need you to see what the book is saying. Because I maintain this word, the Petra, this word is rock. Now watch this. The Bible says,
and did all drink the same spiritual drink.
For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them.
And that rock was Christ.
Now who was that rock?
Christ.
That rock was Christ. Now notice, he said that rock. Now why would he say that rock? When in Matthew 16:18 he said upon this rock, I will build my church. Well, why would he say that rock? Well, I'll tell you why he would say that rock. Because in the Old Testament, he was that rock. That distant rock. He was their shelter, their foundation in times of storm. Wherever the Israelites went, when they needed water, guess what showed up? That rock. That's the rock at a distance. That's old time rock. Are y'all paying attention? And I'm not going to read Exodus chapter 17 verses 5 and 6. But they murmured for water. And God told Moses, smite the rock. And water came from the rock. They kept wandering in the wilderness, man, and started murmuring again in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, verses 8 through 13. They cried for water, and God told Moses, speak to the rock. In other words, every time they got ready and needed some water, a rock showed up. That rock! So Paul says, spiritually, that rock was Christ. But then he says, upon this rock. You see, the difference between that rock, that was me in spirituality. That was me back there, but I was in a figure. But now I'm here, right now, so I say upon this. Right now, rock. Did you catch it? Now I'm here right now, so upon me. Upon myself. Upon the truth that Peter just declared that I am the Christ, I will build my church. Now, how people miss this? Upon this rock, I will build my church. But then they say, well, wait a minute. The word rock in Matthew 16:18 is a smear, is spelled in, with small letters. But the rock over here is a capital letter. Well, honey, all the letters in the Greek language were capital letters. So that doesn't mean anything. What it means here, you go back and look at the original word, and both of them come from the same word. Because it's talking about the same person. Did you catch it? As a matter of fact, you don't have to go over there, but you can put it in your note. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 28, you hear Jesus talking about every man that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man that built his house upon a rock. Same rock. Did you catch it? Now when Jesus said, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Peter was a rock. He was Petros. That's right. Peter was a rock. Oh, go over to John. Go over to John chapter 1, verse 42. Y'all think I'm making stuff up. Peter was a rock. But the church wasn't built on Peter rock. The church was built on Christ rock. And you know, I'm glad the church wasn't built on Peter. We have a lion church. You didn't catch it? We have a lion church. A denying church. A scary church. A fearful church. If the church had been built on Peter, you know Peter denied the Lord three times. He even lied and said, I don't know it. And you mean to tell me God going to build us on that? Honey, God built us on truth. That's right. Amen. On Christ. Amen. Listen to the Bible in John chapter 1 and verse 42.
And he brought him.
He brought him
to Jesus.
To Jesus.
And when Jesus
beheld him,
he said,
Thou art Simon,
the son of Jonah.
Thou shalt be called Cephas,
which by interpretation,
a stone. I told you, Peter was a rock, but the church wasn't built on Peter. The church was built on Christ. We need to understand this. So when I look at the promise, Jesus made the promise. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And notice what he said, and the gates of hell
shall not prevail against it.
Now, what does he mean? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus knew that he was getting ready to die. And that word hell is Hadean. That word Hadean simply means the realm of the disembodied spirit. That place simply says when you die, your body is placed in the ground, but your spirit goes to God and your soul goes up into the Hadean world. I need you to get it. Jesus is saying, even though I'm going to die, death can't stop me from getting up and building my church. Satan tried it, but he couldn't stop him. Are you all paying attention? That's why when I talk about the church of Christ, I talk about a church, man, that's heaven bound, that's fireproof, and death couldn't stop it. If death could not stop Christ from building his church, then I'll tell you, if the devil could not stop Christ from building his church, I'll tell you, if the grave could not stop Christ from building his church, how do folk think today that they can stop the church from going forward? The church of Christ is true to his name. The port said, and the fruit it bears is just the same. No human creed can lead us astray. And did you catch it? Jesus is our foundation. The devil couldn't stop him. Death couldn't stop him. The grave couldn't stop him. He got up and made good on his promise. He built the church. That's the point I'm trying to get over. He made good on his promise. Upon this rock I will build. And he did that. People are still arguing today. Which church is it? Let me give you something that simple. Which one is it? People ask me all the time, which church is the church of Christ? You know what I tell them? Whichever one was back there, that's it. You want to know which one it is? Let's find out which one was back there. And if you can find out which one was back there, then that's the one it is. Go to Romans 16:16. I want to say this. Because I'm going to work on verses 17 and 18. I may not even do it tonight, but I'll work on it before I leave, I hope. You know, you forget, man. I forget so much stuff I'm supposed to work on. I really do. You know, I have a plan. I gave you all a verse, man, on Thursday night. I didn't get to it until Sunday. We have a more sure word of prophecy. I gave it Thursday night. I said, I'm going to work on this verse, and it took me to Sunday to get to it. We forget so much stuff. Isn't that all right? But I want you to see this. Now, wait a minute. Christ said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Christ said that. Now, watch the book.
Salute one another with an holy kiss.
With an holy kiss.
The churches of Christ. Salute you.
Now, we need to understand. Who said, upon this rock, I will build my church? Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church. Well, whose church is it? It's Christ's church. That means church of Christ. We can't get around that. Well, I thought the Bible said churches of God. Who you think Christ is?
That's right.
Come on, talk back to me. I've just shown you that Christ is God. So when you read Romans 16, 16, churches of Christ, and 1 Corinthians 11, 16, churches of God, honey, this is the same church. We're not talking about two different kinds of churches. Same one church in many locations. Did you catch it? Why do you all think I can leave Pontiac, Michigan, USA, and come over here to Kingston, Jamaica, and preach in this pulpit just like I preach in Michigan? Because what the preacher preaches here is what I preach there. We are in different locations, but we preach the same thing. If I didn't preach what he's preaching, I wouldn't be preaching what he's preaching. You know what he would be saying? Brother Fisher, the brothers, we need to get somebody else. Boy, not preaching right. Isn't that what he'll say? You know it. We have to stand up for the truth. We can't, man, keep trying to change the truth to fit the people. We must preach the truth. There's nothing wrong with the truth. Something is wrong with the people. We're trying to change the truth to fit the people. We had a panel discussion one time. We invited, man, all of the dignitaries in the city to come to the Church of Christ to discuss things that were of serious nature in the city, and especially religion. And one of the guys on the panel said, well, what I think we need to do, I think we need to update the Bible to fit man. Well, that's what the churches are doing without literally saying that's what they are doing. Now, if you want to get in a church to have a good time, all you have to do is start looking around. Then you'll find the exact kind of church you're looking for. A lady called our building one day. Called our church. Let me say it like that so you'll get what I'm talking about. And she called our church one day and I answered the phone. Daryl Holt. She said, how are you, sir? I said, I'm just fine. I said, what's your pleasure? She said, I just want to know if y'all's church have a children's choir. I said, baby, we have a children's choir. We have an adult choir. Our whole church is the choir. She said, oh, okay. And she hung up. Now, wait a minute. If you are looking for the church of the Bible, you don't decide what you want. So if the church doesn't have any what you want, then you call another one and ask them what do they have in there until you finally find one that has in it just what you want. That's not how you look for a church. You don't look for a church based upon your needs. Let me say that again. Somebody said, that struck a nerve. I thought we supposed to look for a church based upon our needs. No, the question is, what are your needs? You look for the church based upon the Bible. A lot of people attend churches because they have something in them that they like. I'm not in the Church of Christ because it has something in it that I like. I'm in the Church of Christ because it's in the Bible. A lot of stuff in the Church of Christ I don't like. What? No. You listen to this. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of things that I can't see. But just because I can't see them does not mean I don't accept them. Now let me tell you, the old preachers used to say, I can't see how a black cow can drink clear water, produce white milk and yellow butter. They say they can't see it. But is that what it does? You don't have to be able to see everything, but if that's what it does, I can't see. And Joseph couldn't either. How Mary could be pregnant and he hadn't touched her. The reason I know Joseph couldn't see it, because he was getting ready to put her away until the angel came and told him. Joseph couldn't see that. There's something else I can't see. I can't see how some of these women put up with some of these men that they're married to. But you know they put up with them. There are some things in the church of Christ I don't like. But it has nothing to do with what I like or dislike. It has to do with what God said. We were talking the other day, Brother King and then Brother Mitchell and I, we were talking the other day, and we were talking about the communion bread. I don't like that communion bread. And I'll show you something. You don't either. And the reason I know, how many of you all have bought that communion bread to eat for a snack? Come on, talk back to me. Any hands will go up? Why you all don't go to the market saying, I'm looking for that communion bread. I like it and I want a snack on it. Oh, you buy the grape juice, don't you? You know why you buy the grape juice? You like it. I bought some the other night. But I messed up. I knocked it over, man. I said, oh, Lord, no. I said, Brother Mitchell, I got to get some more. We don't like everything we see, but we believe it and accept it because God said it. And people need to understand that. They don't know why they are looking for a church. All they know is they want a church. But honey, you need to find out if it's in the Bible, first of all. And if it is, get in it. And if it isn't, get out of it. Isn't that simple? Well, I need to move on. I got the promise. You all get the promise? What did he promise to build? The church. Now let's go. Let's go and hear him pray. You all got time for him to pray? John 17, beginning with verse 20. Let's hear Jesus pray.
Neither pray.
Church, I don't know about you, but I'll be there in a moment. I don't know about you, but I just believe we ought to accept what the Lord says. Too many people in religion, honey, they are confused. And let me tell you this. People are not confused over what the Bible is saying.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
That's not their confusion.
That's right.
I mean, one body. How can you be confused? One body. I've been seeing a coin down here. Yeah. What is that? That's not a coin. I'm looking for one. I'm looking for a coin. I'm looking for a coin. Come on. Yeah, I'm looking for a coin. Looking for a coin. What is this? How much is it? 1 cent? I don't know. 10 cent. Got it? How much is this coin? 10 cent. Now, if God put this coin in the Bible, gave you a picture, and had written on this coin 10 cents, who would be confused about this coin?
That's right.
The only way you get confused about this coin is that somebody makes some more coin like this one, but not this one. Can I say it?
Yes, sir.
Why you get confused is because somebody makes more corn like this corn, but it's not this corn.
Yeah.
And they put 10 cents on it. And then you say, well, now I'm confused.
Yeah.
But if you go back and look at all of the original marks of this corn.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You will see that the others are counterfeits.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jesus said he would build his church one body. And if you go and look in the Bible, you don't get confused over the one he talks about. But when they built these others that tried to look like this one, then the confusion came.
Amen.
So to get rid of the confusion, what do you do? Go back to the original. Go back to the Bible and you will be all right. You better get that back to you. I'll spin it. You catch it? Now God's word is right. God predicted unity. Christ said upon this rock, I will build my church. That's oneness that Christ said, I'm going to gather all of my people in one. He promised that. But let's see his prayer.
Neither pray for
neither
them.
Neither pray I for these alone.
But for them also.
But for them also.
Which shall believe on
which
me.
Which shall believe on me.
Through their word.
Through their word.
That they all may be one.
That they all may be one.
As thou Father.
As thou Father.
Art in me.
Art in me.
And I in thee.
And I in thee.
That they also
that they
may be one.
Also
in us.
May be.
One in us.
One in us.
That the world may believe.
That the world may believe.
That thou hast sent me.
That thou hast sent me. Now you remember we talked about Trinity? You remember that?
Yeah.
We talked about the triune God, the triunity of God. We talked about the oneness of God in three persons. He said that they all may be one in us. He's still talking that usness. Isn't that all right? In other words, when it comes down to it, God has unity among the Godhead, and every person who comes into the church that Jesus built becomes a part of the unity of the Godhead. They become a part of the faith. They become a part of the church. They become a part of salvation. They become a part of what God wants them to become a part of. He said that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. Now this is amazing. In the United States. Let me talk about that. I don't know much about you all. I've been with him. In the United States, we have what they call a United States Post Office. And everywhere you go in the United States, if you go to the post office, your stamp to send a letter is 42 cents. If you go to Michigan, it's 42 cents. If you go to Mississippi, 42 cents. If you go to New York, 42 cents. If you go to Louisiana, 42 cents. I don't care what state you go, what city you go into, if you want a stamp to mail a letter, it's 42 cents. You hear me? The United States has one man, they call him the United States Postmaster. And whatever the postmaster signs off on, That's what everybody does. When they raise the price of the stamp, every city, every state in the United States raises its price. They are all equal everywhere you go. And if you mail a letter and you put 39 cent stamp, a 39 cent stamp on it, you know what they're going to do? They're going to send it back saying insufficient funds. Now wait a minute. You mean to tell me that a man in the United States can set up a postal system where everybody in the United States have to follow the same rules and regulations?
Amen. Yes, sir.
But God could not build one church and put his rules and regulations in it, and everybody in the world follows the same thing.
Amen. Amen.
If the man at the post office can do it, I know King Jesus can do it.
Yes,
now that just bothers me. Lord of lords, King of kings, God of gods, Prince of princes, Ruler of rulers, Master of masters. You mean to tell me he cannot put together a platform where everybody can follow it? And people say, well, you know, I just don't see why everybody got to be the same. Go down to the post office and tell them people that.
That's right. That's right.
Go down there with your 39 cent and say, I don't understand why everybody got to pay $42, 42 cents. You know what they're going to tell you? Because that's what the postmaster said. Now, why everybody has to be one? Because that's what the master said.
Amen. Amen.
Go to the market. Go down there. No, don't go to the market. Go to that good ice cream place. Devon House. Let's go to Devon House. And when you get you some praline, and when you get you some, and that lady has on that box $2.50. You don't want that. $500. Now you tell her, lady, I don't understand why all of us got to pay $2.50 for this. I have $100. I want $100 worth. Well, honey, your $100 worth will not get in that container that says $2.50. And Lord knows it's not going to get in that container that says $500. Why am I saying all of this simple stuff? I'm saying it because when it comes down to religion, you want God to bargain with you. He could if he wanted to, but he's not. He simply said that we all be one. Lord have mercy. Jesus prayed that we all be one. I think I'm going to close on this one, please. And then I'll get these tomorrow night. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
And if I forget, you all remind me. Because, you know, I told you, I will forget. I won't lie. I won't be like the man, though, that the old man was about 90 years old. And his first wife had died. And, man, he married him a young 30-year-old woman. And she was beautiful. So he ran up on one of his old friends. He was sitting out in the park. And a guy walked up to him and said, "Man, how are you?" He said, "Oh, I'm just fine." He said, "Well, how is your marriage, man? How is your new life?" He said, "Oh, my life is just wonderful, just beautiful. I have a beautiful new bride." He said, "Well, man, why are you sitting here crying and worried and with all of that good stuff in your life?" He said, "I can't find my way home." He just couldn't get home. He was 90. He forgot where he lived. He was happy, had a beautiful woman. He just couldn't find his way home. So I forget sometimes I'm not 90. But let me tell you something, if you want to find your way home.
Amen. Amen.
You don't have to depend upon your memory. Amen. You depend upon the Word of God. And I think I'll close right here. Because I read Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10.
Now I beseech you, brethren.
Now I beseech you, brethren.
By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That you all speak.
That you all speak.
The same thing.
The same thing.
And that there be no division.
And that there be no division
among you.
Among you.
But that you be perfectly
joined
together.
Perfectly joined together.
In the same
in
mind.
In the same mind.
And in the same judgment.
And in the same judgment.
For it hath been declared unto me of you.
Unto me of you.
My brethren.
My brethren.
By them which are the house of Chloe.
Of the house of Chloe.
That they are contentions
among you.
Now this I say.
Now this I say.
That every one of you says.
Every one of you says.
I am of Paul.
I am of Paul.
And I have Apollos.
I am of Apollos.
And I have Cephas.
I of Cephas.
And I have Christ.
I of Christ.
Is Christ divided?
Is Christ divided?
Was Paul crucified for you?
Was Paul crucified for you?
Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?
In the name of Paul. Now Paul makes his plea. Paul says, now listen. I've been hearing some stuff over there at Corinth. I've been hearing that there are some contentions among you. Now, when I left the city of Corinth, you were all one. When I left the city of Corinth, everybody was together. When I left the city of Corinth, I preached Christ and Him crucified. When I left the city of Corinth, I left one body at Corinth. I left what God gave me by revelation. Ye were all together. But since I've left, I've been hearing from those of the house of Chloe that there are some contention among you. But I want to make sure we straighten it out. I've been hearing there are some folk that say, I'm of Paul. There are some folk that say, I'm of Apollos. There are some folk that say, I'm of Cephas. You know, that's Peter. We read him back in John 1:42. And some folk say, I'm of Christ. Well, what I want to tell you all is this. If you're going to say that you are of Paul, then I have a question for you. Did I die for you? If you're going to say you are of Paul, I have another question for you. If you say I'm of Paul, I want to know whether you're baptized. Amen. In my name. I know when I baptize you, I remember back in Acts 18:8, when I baptize you, Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. I remember when I baptized some of you, I didn't baptize you in my own name. I baptized you by the authority of Christ. Because Christ said in Matthew 28 and verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And the reason I know Paul baptized them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is because when Paul first went down to Corinth, I'm here to tell you something happened down at Corinth. Paul taught the same thing in every place according to 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. Paul said, I teach in every place, everywhere, the same thing. Paul didn't teach a different message in different places. Well, in Acts 19 and verse 1, the Bible said Apollos was at Corinth, and Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, having certain disciples said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now wait a minute. We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Well, I know if these folk were baptized, they were not baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They hadn't even heard if there be any Holy Ghost. So I know they were not baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. If they had been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, at least they would have heard about the Holy Ghost. They say, we have not even heard. Paul asked a question, under what then were ye baptized? He didn't tell me you hadn't heard about the Holy Ghost. I need to know what kind of baptism did you get. They say it under John's baptism. Paul knew then that was a problem. He said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized. Now they had already been baptized once. But here they are getting baptized again. The first one didn't count.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
The proper teaching was not given, so the first one didn't count.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be under this tent. You may have been baptized before. But if you haven't heard this, your first one doesn't count. You have to be taught properly to be baptized properly. You can't be taught error and baptized right. Why do you think we sit down with people and go over the scriptures with them to show them the way? Because we understand that God predicted unity. Christ promised it, prayed for it, and now the Apostle Paul is pleading for it. I'll work on this later. Isn't that all right? Now, what is my plea tonight?
Amen.
My plea tonight is Paul's plea. My prayer, what is my prayer tonight? Is Christ's prayer. Christ prayed that we be one. Paul pleaded that we be one. And that's my prayer and plea for you tonight. Paul said, now I didn't baptize anybody in my name. So number one, if you are in a church that does not have the scriptural name or scriptural designations according to the Bible, you need to ask yourself, am I getting baptized the proper way? Or did I get baptized the proper way? Because Paul showed, if you say you are of Paul, then Paul had to die for you. Now, just think about this. Just think about this. Lutheran. Just think about that. Lutheran. Just for a moment. I'm using this one. Lutheran. Now, Martin Luther was what they call a reformer. He was a part of what they call the Reformation movement. The church had apostatized, that is, fallen away. Catholicism had risen in the world. In 1050, the Greek Orthodox people of the Catholic Church split from the major Roman Catholic Church. Church of Christ, Roman Catholic Church, Greek Orthodox Church. The Greek Orthodox Church split the Roman Catholic Church because of the Pope wanted to bring in mechanical music. So they didn't use mechanical music in the first century church. And so it brought about a division. And by the time this gentleman, Martin Luther, came along, Martin Luther was actually a Catholic. But Martin Luther disagreed with the Pope. And he went to the church in Wittenberg, Germany, and he nailed 95 theses. Those were doctrinal differences that he had against the Roman Catholic Church. And what they did was they excommunicated him. That is, they put him out of the Roman Catholic Church. But before Martin Luther died, he told his disciples, don't wear my name, wear the name of Christ. And after this man died, around 1521, the Lutheran church became a reality. And now today, people still call themselves Lutheran. After this man told them, don't do it. Now, there's some hard-headed folk in the world. They won't listen to anybody. Did Luther die for their sin? Now, I won't say they were not baptized in his name because I don't know. But I will say this, his name is not powerful enough to get baptized into. And we're still arguing about the church. Honey, Jesus died for one church. Denominationalism is not a part of that one church. Never has been and never will be. People can argue all they want to. Oh, you know, when we get to heaven, going to be all kind of folks up there. Yeah, every one of them a Christian. Did you catch it? Every one of them. Because that's the name God put salvation in. You've heard the word tonight. Do you believe it? John 8:24, Jesus said, I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sin. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. Do you fear God enough to repent tonight? Do you fear him enough to confess Jesus before men to be the Son of God? Can't you see he wants to do you good? Do you fear him enough to be baptized into Christ? Now, tomorrow night I'm going to pick up on verse 10 in that same section. So don't you all let me forget it. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak. That's what I'm going to pick up tomorrow night. And if I start preaching and I don't pick it up, somebody holler back there, pick it up. I'm serious. You see, one of the things that I found in religion is this. If you don't make people feel good, they won't like you. You see? So my wife said this to me. She said, Daryl, if people meet you while you're preaching, they won't like you. But if they meet you outside of preaching, they'll love you to death. She says, I'm kind of like Dr. Jekyll and, I changed. Mr. Hyde, you know. Well, I started praying, Lord, help me to help people to reach people. I believe you have to pray for what you want. And I started praying. Lord, I want to tell people the truth. I want to tell it to them so they can see it. I don't want to make them mad, but I want to tell it. But if they get mad, fine. But Lord, help me to reach them. And so I just think the Lord started helping me. You see, when I first obeyed the gospel, I told you I came out of a prison system, right? Everything was serious with me. When I went to a church and a preacher told a joke, I got up. I didn't want to hear what he had to say because everything was serious. Man, you had to fight to survive. So I don't want to go to church and hear jokes. That was my mentality. But then I found out that I'm preaching the word, but I'm making folk mad. And I'm talking about mad to the point that they want to fight me and choke me. So I start praying, Lord, help me. And the Lord started helping me. And the day I realized I had some help, a brother came to me. He said, Brother Holt, man, you know what you can do? I said, what? He said, you can take that Bible and beat us and make us like it. I said, thank you, Lord. His word is right. That's why I give all of these illustrations and tell this and tell that, because I need to be around here for a while telling people what God said. Oh, I have no fear. None whatsoever. I just believe that if you love the Lord, you'll obey the Lord. And listen, we shouldn't have to force you to come. Why don't you come on? Why don't you know? Teach people the word, and if they love the Lord, they'll come. And I'm not being mean-spirited. What would you do with a stubborn mule? You try to break it, wouldn't you? Come on, now talk back to me. What would you do? You try to break it. Well, we got some stubborn people in the world. And the only thing I know that can break a stubborn person is the power of the gospel. So that's why we have to teach it and preach it so people can hear it and obey it. See, God can't use you against your will. If you come forward and you don't want to come, you may well stay back there. God can't use you against your will. God is looking for people who want to serve Him. Yeah, people think, man, we so poor. I'm talking about churches of Christ. We so poor that we can't buy a piano. We can put the thing on layaway if we just had to have it. But that's not the issue. The issue is, what does God say? I'm finished. Do you want to be baptized tonight? Why? Because I want to please God. Song leader is ready. When you look at God's platform of unity, you see what God said and not what men say. Unity of the Bible. Unity of the Godhead. And there ought to be unity among God's people. God does not want us divided. I'm going to work on division tomorrow night. And I'm going to show you what God says about it. Tonight was just unity. And I didn't get to the fact that there are three passages that use this word unity. I'll give them tomorrow night. But I need you to understand this, that if salvation is coming to your house, you must do something about it. God is not going to save you against your will. He's not going to force you to come. You must be willing to come. Are you willing? If you are, we're going to stand now. Come on and do what you know you need to do in order to please the Lord.